We opened our conversation yesterday in the context of recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah's emes, which is a high olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, an intellectually profound Torah, through which we're meant to seek truth and then apply it to life. It's meant to live al pi Torah. So we look at modern events and modern realities through the eyes of the classic categories of halacha, the classic categories of Torah. And I open a Shulchan Aruch, I don't see anything about electric lights. I open a Shulchan Aruch, I don't see anything about cars, gas, or electric. I open a Shulchan Aruch, I don't see anything about modern reproductive technologies. I open a Shulchan Aruch, I don't see anything about modern social realities. And I'm not at all stymied, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah that's relevant to all generations, and Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dor V'Dor have continually figured out how to look at new realities through the timeless categories of Torah. And it's no different for the modern state of Israel than anything else. You have to figure out, where does this fit in? So let's open with a Gemara. Let's open with a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei Amud Beis, the very top of the Maamar Makamos. Why are we celebrating? Take a look at this pasuk. Rav Chagiga is discussing the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, there are happy parts of Yirmiyahu, there are sad parts of Yirmiyahu. Much of Yirmiyahu is sad, much of Yirmiyahu is about korban. Take a look at this pasuk. Yilos yishmu'u b'mistarim tivke nafshi, mepnei geva. Gemara is taken by the fact that Yirmiyahu describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu crying privately. B'mistarim tivke nafshi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself as, he's not crying in public. You cannot say, tell the Baruch Hashem is sad, but in private, the Baruch Hashem is crying. And why is he crying? What's he crying about? So the pasuk says, Mipnei Geva. Well, because of Geva. What's Geva? The top Gemara in the Maamar Makamos. My Mipnei Geva. Amar of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Mipnei Gavasan Shal Yisrael Shnitmahem. Benitna Laobde Kochavim. The first Amora says, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, he says it's because of the pride of the Jewish people. It was taken away from the Jewish people, it was given to the Nachram at the time of Churban Bayis, and Kadosh Baruch Hu continues to cry over the loss of the pride of the Jewish people. What does that mean, the pride of the Jewish people? Not pride, Beis HaMikdash, maybe. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni said, because of the pride of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. That also sounds like a Beis HaMikdash. But there's a Machlokas. What's the Machlokas? What's the Machlokas? The Ribbono Shel Olam is crying over the second Amor of Neshama Nachmei says the loss of the pride of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, the pride of the Jewish religion. The first Amor of Yeshua Yitzchak says because of the pride of the Jewish people. Jewish pride. We often think, when we hear the term Jewish pride, sometimes we think that sounds like a secular concept. But the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu has been crying for thousands of years because of the loss of Jewish pride. Klal Yisrael used to be able to hold their heads high, and we were a proud nation in our own land, and then the Eretz Yisrael was shattered, and Klal Yisrael was sent to Galus, and we were a downtrodden people. And both saw the loss of Jewish pride. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu has been crying. Shema Tomer, that's a secular concept. Chalila v'chas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been crying, so to speak. You know, I don't know what that mashal means, but it's a cause of divine sadness. The loss of Jewish pride. What's the pride of the Jewish religion? So in the 50s, the Rav gave a very famous drasha. Built off the pasuk in Shir HaShir, Perakei, pasuk Beis, you see right in front of you. It's where the fourth segment, according to the Malbim, the fourth segment of the fourth episode of Shir HaShirim opens. Most of Shir HaShirim we discussed over Pesach. Most of Shir HaShirim is different episodes of the young woman, the riot, seeking out the boyfriend, seeking out the dough, seeking out the young man. Pimedrish, the riot, the young woman refers to Klal Yisrael, and the dough is a reference to Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the love and the passion of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, between the Dod and the Raya. Most of the time, in most of the episodes, the Raya is yearning and seeking the Dod. But in this one episode, beginning of the Perakei, Ani Yishena V'Li Bi'er. It starts being narrated by the young woman, by the Raya. You see, it's in Lashon Nekeva. She says, I'm asleep. My heart is awake, but I'm asleep. My heart is awake, but I'm asleep. Kol Dodi Dovik. And suddenly, instead of her having to run after the boy, the door came knocking. He's knocking. Kol Dodi Dovik. He's knocking the door. This is so exciting. She's been looking for him for years, and now he came to find her. And what happens? He's saying, Pischili Achosi Rayasi, open up, open up. And what happened to Pasagil? Oh, Pashati's Kutanti is in front of you. Pashati's Kutanti Chachal Bashana. I took off. I already changed out of my clothes and my pajamas to get back into clothing and the door. Rachasti is Ragla Chachatanta. I washed my feet already. I'm going to walk on the dirt floor. My feet will get dirty again. So she dreidels. And she hesitates. And she's, in the moment, lazy. And then, in the next pasuk, he stops knocking. Sounds like he's been knocking. The whole time that he's knocking, she's lying in bed hesitating. I shouldn't get up. I have to change. And then he stops knocking. Dodi shalach yado min achar. He stops. He pulls his hand away. And suddenly, mea hamola. And then all of a sudden, my stomach starts turning over. I better find him. She runs out the door. Pasuk hey. Kamti liftoch dodi. I get up, I run to the door. I realize, what am I doing? I missed the moment. She runs to the door, but he's gone. And now she runs wildly throughout Yerushalayim. There's nowhere to find him. She missed the moment. Opportunity was knocking. That's where the phrase comes from. Opportunity, Ribon Shalom was called Dodi Dofik, and the Raya, the young woman, didn't answer the door quickly enough. She missed the moment. The Rav gave a very, very famous drash in the 50s, entitled, called Dodi Dofik. He said he hears six knocks. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking the door right now. He said, that pasuk is us. We better make sure we don't miss the knocks. And he pointed. The Rav said very, very dramatically, very, very poetically. He said, on the 29th of November, 1947, when the UN met to discuss whether or not they would approve of a Jewish homeland, a Jewish state in Eretz Israel. And it was B'nisei Nisim that there were more yeas than nays. It was B'nisei Nisim that most countries voted in favor. It was Kim'at the only time, it was Kim'at the first time and Kim'at the last time that there was a pro-Israel vote in the United Nations. B'nisei Nisim, it was extraordinary hashkacha. So the Rav said, when you watch the speaker's gavel come down to officially declare the results that the resolution had passed, he said, I didn't just see a hand of flesh and blood, busted a dumb hand holding a gavel. I saw the divine kol do Rosh was mamish knocking. B'nisei Nisim. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was knocking as well at the theological tent. He said, this Gemara, the second sheet in the Gemara, the pride of the Jewish religion, what does it mean? It means simply as follows. Christianity began shortly before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And an emerging part of Christian doctrine was to say that they are the new Jews. Of course, Klal Yisrael used to be the Am HaNivchar, goes the Christian approach. We used to be the chosen nation, used to be the Am Segula. But because we didn't accept Yashka, so we lost our status as the Am HaNivchar, and we were rejected. The Christians are the new Am HaNivchar, and that's why they claim the Bayis Sheni was destroyed just a few decades after the life of Yashka. That was punishment, that was a rejection of Christ. We were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. We lost the Eretz HaNivcharas. I should have mentioned this morning, Ramban in this week's Parsha Tazrio speaks about the status of Eretz Yisrael as the Eretz HaNivcharas, the chosen land. So the Christians claim we lost our election, we lost our status as the chosen people, that's why Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and we were sent into Galus. You see, the Jews are downtrodden. You see, the Jews are kicked for hundreds of centuries. That was the argument. The Jews are downtrodden, the Jews are Galus because we rejected Yashu. We're no longer the Am Segula. We're no longer the Am HaNivchar. That was the argument for many, many, many centuries. And that, Rav suggests, is what the Gemara means. The second shita in the Gemara in Chagiga, the pride of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, the pride of the Jewish religion, the pride of Torah with God, because what was mushpal Because the Christians could say, you see, Torah isn't real. You see, Yadus is not the real way to go. You see, they're all in Galus. You see, they're Gantra. You see, they're all in the Amanivka. There was a loss of, number one, Jewish pride. Gavasa Shal Yisrael. To be proud to be a Jew was so hard. And the pride of the Jewish religion. It was an argument. The Kodesh of being in Galus was an argument, a quiver, in the Christian's theological, an arrow in the Christian's theological quiver. You see that the Jewish people are no longer the Am HaNivchar. 1948, when for the first time in almost in more than 2,000 years, Klal Yisrael once again sovereign in Eretz Israel, that was an incredible kasha against classical Christian doctrine. Well, we thought, we'd been saying all this time for almost 2,000 years, that Klal Yisrael lost their status as Am HaNivchar, and that's why they're not in Eretz Israel anymore. And the Jews came back, okay, a couple of Jews are not in charge. First, the Turks were in charge until World War I, the British were in charge afterwards. But then in 48, when everything changed and Klal Yisrael took sovereignty over a significant chunk of Eretz Israel, so it was a major kasha. So the Christian theological response was, no, they don't have the real Eretz Israel. The Teretz was, they're like, you know, Tel Aviv and Haifa and modern Israel, the coastal area. But they don't have Eretz Yehuda. They don't have the old Tzivu Shalayim. They don't have Beit Lechem. They don't have Hebron. I assume all of you know your basic early Zionist history. And you know that initially when the State of Israel was formed, as we were talking about yesterday, the discussion at the Aguda conference, we got a sliver. We take for granted what the map of Eretz Yisrael looks like. The Six-Day War, 19 years later, 1967, I believe, if I remember correctly, more than tripled the area controlled by the State of Israel.
So we control
much of it, correct. But we'll come back to that point in terms of control of Eretz Yehuda. We'll come back to that point in a moment. An important Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tishah B'av we have to talk about. So the initial Christian response was, yeah, they have the new Israel, but they don't have the biblical Israel. Yericho, Hebron, Beit Lechem, and so forth. Which is why in 1967, when over the course of 6 days packed with Nisan, Klal Yisrael took control of Eretz Yehuda, so almost immediately the Catholic Church, the Vatican, began pushing for the internationalization of Yerushalayim. It wasn't for diplomatic reasons. It wasn't for humanitarian reasons. They wanted the internationalization of Yerushalayim because Klal Yisrael's sovereignty over Yerushalayim was a lethal kasha against their entire theology, against their entire doctrine. So now we come back to the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara tells us, has been crying about this. Again, every description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in human terms, is obviously always a mashal. Every anthropomorphism is obviously always the mashal, but it's capturing when a human being cries. That means you're sad. It means that's something you're terribly upset about. So, for example, Kadosh Baruch Hu cries is a way of metaphorically saying there's something that Kadosh Baruch Hu is terribly upset about. Kadosh Baruch Hu has been terribly upset throughout the centuries of Galus about the loss of Jewish pride. Kadosh Baruch Hu is terribly upset over the centuries of Galus about the loss of the pride of the Jewish religion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying, so to speak, if not having entirely ended, is vastly diminished. With Hakamas HaMedina, with the expansion of the Medina, with the restoration of Gavasa Shel Malch Shemayim, with the restoration of the pride of the Jewish religion, and with the restoration of the first Shita, of Jewish pride. You ask, spend some time later today reaching out to people who remember, who were adults or teenagers in 67. If you can, reach out to people who remember 48. My father-in-law, I mentioned, he remembers walking in 48 as a kid, with his father, Mal Shechter, and people, they used to be more common that people would have flags. Cars used to have antennas, number one. And people at the time, it was common people to fly flags on the antennas. And see, he was walking as a little kid around Philadelphia with his father. He's like, what's that? His father's saying, which is an incredible price, that's the flag of the Jewish state. They'd never seen it before. and you were in 60, it was such an expansion of Gavasim Shal Yisrael. And in 67, Rav Moshe Shapira writes so movingly, and they write in the introduction to Re'ei Emunah, which is based on Rav Moshe Shapiro's, the great Baal Machshava. Rav Moshe Shapiro's gave for, I believe, a year and a half, a series of shiurim, weekly shiurim, to young Jewish intellectuals in Eretz Yisrael, on Ikari Emunah, going through it thoroughly, each of the 13 Ikari Emunah, and it was recently, a couple years ago, republished as a sefer. And he explains that was the Baal Tshuva movement launched after 1967. After the Six-Day War, there was such an incredible increase in Jewish pride in Eretz Yisrael and across the world. We're talking the other day about Moshe Feinstein's tshuva about wearing a yarmulke at the workplace, what do you do if you're not able to wear a yarmulke at the workplace. That began to change very significantly in America after 1967. There was such an upset. Talk to people alive. There was so much we take for granted. I shall mention this one. We take for granted access to Eretz Yisrael, for sure. We take for granted that we're comfortable in our own skin. That changed so dramatically after 48 and after 67. And that's not just, a nice emotion. That's something that Kadosh Baruch Hu has been crying about for centuries. So if that has changed, how are you talking that one should not be as extraordinary? So we should join a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the simcha over the restoration of Gavasan Shal Yisrael. We should join a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the simcha over the restoration of Gavasan Shal Malchus Shamayim. We should be incredibly grateful to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here's something else we take for granted. We take for granted we can, fly to Eretz Yisrael, or back in the day, take a boat to Eretz Yisrael to go to visit. That wasn't always not to be taken for granted. Forget about having a place to visit. It's nice to spend Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. It's nice to spend the summer in Eretz Yisrael. It is wonderful to spend the summer in Eretz Yisrael. It's wonderful to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. Let's start with the fact that Hakamas HaMedina saved so many Jews. Let's start with the fact that after World War II, if you've been reviewing for the upcoming U.S. History AG, after World War II, there were not a lot of places in the world that were open to Jews. After World War II, it was hard for Jews to, before, during, and after World War II, it was incredibly hard for Jews to get in there to America. So many, there were some who were able to get in there, many who were not. Up until 48, Jews were trying to sneak in. The British were keeping us out, imprisoning Jews that they caught, the whole Mapilim movement. There's a boat you can see in Eretz Yisrael. They preserved it. It's called the Af Al Pi Kein. But nevertheless, that was the name of the boat. They were trying to sneak Jews in Eretz Yisrael under the noses of the British. They needed a place to live. They needed a place to survive. Hakamas HaMedina saved so many Jewish lives. Hakamas HaMedina before Hakamas HaMedina, it was very difficult to enter Eretz Yisrael. Up until Hakamas HaMedina, they were trying to sneak under the nose of the British. They were getting pushed back to Syria, pushed back. Chuk HaShvut changed all that. And it was in the lead up to Hakamas HaMedina, in the decades that led toward up to it and beyond, that we began to see so many of the nevuos that we've been yearning for and dominating for being nisgaim before our eyes. I mentioned the other week at the Gemara at the end of Agadah, end of Makkos. Rabbi Akiva is so thrilled. He sees Chorban, right? And the famous Agadah. And Rabbi Gamliel will be sure the rest of them all say, well, have you gone mad? We're seeing the foxes trample over Makkah Mikdash and you're smiling? He says, no, L'kacha nimitzachek. That's exactly why I'm so happy. Because this is a terrible nevuah of Churban that had been said long ago, Shu'olim Hilchubo, and now we actually see the Mo'einayim. So it says, you see Churban, and you see Churban, v'zehu. But I see a nevuah niskaima, and seeing a nevuah actually mitgashemet, so I see a nevuah materialize before my eyes, it gives me greater capacity to imagine more vividly what the positive nevuahs will look like when they'll be niskaima. And specifically mentions, as I mentioned to you guys the other week, Odeishu Zakeim 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 Yerushalayim, the Nebu of Zechariah, of the old people sitting calmly in Yerushalayim and relaxing, and the young children running around the plain wall in the streets of Yerushalayim. And we get to see those Nebuas before our eyes. And so many Nebuas, right? Shalom mentioned this morning. Kibbutz Galias by Avrakam Pazaretz. Over the last century and a half, that nevuah was mamash unfolded before our eyes. How many Jews? And there's more. But let me point you specifically. You might think I'm pulling the nevuahs out of a hat. Well, what's this Tanakh that you speak of? So let's quote a pasuk instead of quoting a pasuk from the Tanakh. Let's quote a pasuk from a Gemara, and specifically to see how the Gemara contextualizes it. The Gemara Sanhedrin Sarichas Amar Aleph. Take a look. It's a copy of the Gemara Mekamos, or you can open up the Gemara and take a look inside. If you're looking inside, we're going to be seeing two different parts, two different agados. And Sanhedrin Sarichas Amar Aleph. This is near the top. Sanhedrin Sarichas Amar Aleph. The Amar Rabbi Abba. The Tanam Amram tell us that it's very dangerous, risky, and almost invariably ineffective business to try to calculate when Mashiach is going to come. We don't know. We know he's going to come sooner or later. We daven and hope and pray sooner. We don't know. He's going to come at some point. But throughout the generations, many people have wanted, understandably, there's a great desire to figure out when Mashiach is coming. Gemara says it's a really bad idea. You'll probably get it wrong. You'll probably miscalculate. But, I'm Rabbi Abba. The Amor Rabbi Abba tells us, "Be'ein lecha kates megula mizeh." We can't give you a number. We can't give you a date. We can't give you a year. But what I could tell you, says Rabbi Abba, is if you want a simon that Mashiach is on the way, there's no clearer simon than the following. "Ein lecha kates megula mizeh." See that? Sanhedrin Sarichas Tamaral. For those who are zooming, it is in Google Classroom. Amar Rabbi Abba, ein l'chaketz b'gulam, he said, no greater simon of impending gu'ula than this, shene emar, v'atem hare Yisrael. Yechezkel says, you mountains of Eretz Yisrael, anfechem titenum, prichem tisu l'am Yisrael, your branches will start to grow leaves again, and you'll begin to grow fruits again for my people, for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are going to be Eretz Yisrael for centuries. Went dark for centuries. There are historical records over the course of the Galus. You look at it's remarkable the language of the travelogues of the Crusaders who came 800-900 years ago to Eretz Israel to fight the Muslims for control over Eretz Israel, and Mark Twain who came to Eretz Israel in the 1800s. He traveled the world and he published his travelogue. And the way in which the Crusaders expressed themselves 800-900 years ago and Mark Twain expressed himself in the 19th century, remarkably similar. It's obviously different in many, many ways, but this Nakuda is the same. They come to Eretz Yisrael, having learned some Chumash, Eretz Zavas Chol B'Dvash, the land flowing with milk and honey, and land that the Torah tells us, Eretz Yisrael is a land of incredible fertility. And they come and they say, who turned out the lights? This isn't Eretz Zavas Chol B'Dvash. It's a dust bowl. There's nothing growing here. It's an arid desert. There's bale here and there, an olive tree, garnished. It's not a green land. And I sometimes think, if you can imagine the following, a thought experiment. Imagine you had an aerial time-lapse video of Eretz Yisrael for the last 2,000 years. I imagine if you could see what Eretz Yisrael looked like from the air, satellite picture, time lapse over the last 2,000, spinning through the last 2,000 years. What would you see? After Churban Bayis, Eretz Yisrael was full of grays and browns and sand colored. Nothing, barely anything was growing. For hundreds and hundreds, for close to 2,000 years, from the Churban Bayis, up until the mid-1800s. All of a sudden, the 1800s, over the course of a couple of decades, which, if you're imagining, over the course of 2,000 years, be in an instant, there's an explosion of green across Eretz Yisrael. An explosion of green. So just to see that on its own, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's, wow, incredible. Eretz Yisrael was waiting for her children to come home, and her children came home. She was holding in her fertility for her children. And Klal Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael. All of a sudden, there was an explosion of green in Eretz Yisrael. Remarkable in its own right. Doubly remarkable because the Navi had predicted that thousands of years ago. Yechezkel said, this will yet happen. They tell very, very, very poignant stories of the Rav Kook had, this is obviously before Hakamas HaMedina. Rav Kook did not live to see Hakamas HaMedina. Before Hakamas HaMedina, there was a, years before, there was a Jew who Rav Kook had encouraged to seek to grow Esrogim in Eretz Yisrael. Esrogim imported to Eretz Yisrael from elsewhere. He said, it's time to start growing Esrogim in Eretz Yisrael. They worked on which type of Esrogim they're going to grow. And then I think that if I remember correctly, it didn't, and there's issues of Arla and just agricultural issues, gaining to grow and gaining to take with so posh. And finally, after a number of years, he had the first kosher esrog. And they described the way Rav Kook is a very older man, and he, this farmer comes to Rav Kook with the esrog. And he holds the esrog in his hands, he starts to cry, and he starts to say this pasuk in Cheskel. Atem har Yisrael, anfechem titnu, frichem tisul am Yisrael. Marsh, Nevuah Yecheskel, see Nevuah Yecheskel unfold before your eyes. Rabban points out that yeah, to see a nes is an incredible indication that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. To see a nes that was very predicted by the Navi is also Mechazik Armuna in Nevuah. But here it's a triple header. Because not only is this something incredible to see, not only is this a Nevuah that was already foretold by Yecheskel a couple thousand years ago, but it's a Gemara. And the Gemara says, what does the Gemara say about this pasuk? Ein lecha keitz megulim is that. The Gemara said, over 1,500 years ago, there's no greater siman that Mashiach is on the way, that the process of geula is impending, that geula is impending, that things are in process, than this. So it's a Gemara. You look around, we have seen this keitz. This keitz megulah has been here for the last 100 more years. So what are we? What is it to celebrate? To celebrate to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his simcha over the restoration of Gavasim Shal Yisrael, to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his simcha over the restoration of Gavasim Shal Malchus Shamayim, the simcha over HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us, the Yeshua of so many Jews, the simcha, and the being able to see so many Nevuahs Neskaimu, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, Kibbutz Galiz Ma'arba Kanfas Aretz, and the Simcha of seeing. Imagine how much Rabbi Kiva would dance if he got to see. He was so happy just imagining. Oh, Yeshua's game is against. Imagine where he would be to actually see his Nevuahs. And specifically, Ein Lecha Keitz Megulim is that. This is a Nevuah that not only Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us. Kadosh Baruch Hu's message. The Gemara told us over 1,500 years. This is a siman that. That Geula is imminent. How could you, if you're looking at things with open eyes, how could you not be Male Simcha? And there's more. Because you might say, okay, but Hakamas HaMedina has nothing to do with that. I mean, it's not Mashiach. The Rambam is very clear. The Rambam is very clear that Bias HaMashiach means a flesh and blood descendant of David and Shlomo, who's going to be a king over the Jews. Rambam is very clear that he's going to rebuild, bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, rebuild Beis HaMikdash. All the Jews are going to start keeping Torah mitzvahs. Umal haaretz deis es Hashem kamar mil mechasev. We haven't seen that yet. This isn't Mashiach. State of Israel is not Mashiach by any stretch of the imagination. So, what is he getting so excited about? So number one, he said, doesn't have to be Mashiach. There can be plenty of other reasons to be so excited. At the very least, it's a simon the Mashiach is on the way. And so many things that are authentic Eved Hashem ought to be thrilled by. But there's even more. Take a look at the bottom of Sanhedrin Sadi Chesam and Al. Take a look. The Sanhedrin Sadi Chesam and Al, further down the Yamut, here's where I'm going with just the next paragraph. Yeshua ben Levi had a steer in Sukkim. Two steers. Yeshua ben Levi is a famous Talmud of Rabbi Yehonasi. Here he's quoted by his a lesser known Talmud of his. Amar of Alexandri, or Alexandri, Rabbi Alexander, told us, it's Sanhedrin Tzadi Chesed Manal. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked the stira. In the same pasuk, from one word to the next, Kesiv v'ita, uchsiv achishena. And Avi Yeshayahu says this is the end of the last two words of one of the Nevuos of the Shev Nechemta, of the 7 weeks of Fal Tishvav. That Nevuah ends, this Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Ani Hashem be'itach. I'm Hakadosh Baruch Hu be'itach Hashem. I'm gonna rush. I'm gonna make the geula hurry up, and it'll come on time. Be'itach Hashem. Yeshua Levi said, I understand. Is it be'itach or is it achishana? Is it on time, or is it, if you rush, that means you can arrive early? Is the geula gonna arrive early? The geula gonna arrive on time? Which one is it? Which one is it? So that's Astira. The one Yeshua Levi is Teretz. It depends, there are two options. Zaku Achishana, lo zaku be'ita. Either or. There are two options, the plan A and plan B. If we earn Geula, so then it'll come ahead of schedule. If we don't earn Geula, it'll come on schedule. In other words, we've heard about the concept of the Kate. The concept of the Kate comes from this Gemara. There's a final time by which Mashiach will come. And that's be'ita. Even not Zoka. Mashiach is going to come whether we deserve it or not. It's the perfected version of Olam Hazeh, and the end game, the end stage of Olam Hazeh is Emosa Mashiach. It's going to happen whether we create it or not. If we're not Zohar, then we'll be Ita. Kadosh Baruch Hu has some date in mind. We don't know when the Kates is, but Kadosh Baruch Hu has some Kates and some end date by which the Mashiach is going to come. Lo Zohar, the Ita. But Zohar, if we're Zohar, and with our mitzvahs and Eisim Tovim, we deserve Mashiach, so then Achishana. And he'll come ahead of schedule. As soon as we're Zohar, Mashiach will come. So that's Rishon Levi's terrors, that there's a plan A and a plan B for Gula. Then take a look inside. Then he goes on. It's not just a question of when, it's a question of how. And Amar Rav Zandri Rishon Levi Rami, Rishon Levi asked another sphere, this time between two different Svarim of the Tanakh, between Daniel and Zechariah. Ksiv, on the one hand, a pasuk in the seventh paragraph of Daniel, V'arom imanani shemaya kevar inish asa. It describes Mashiach like flying out of the sky, flying out of the clouds. Mashiach was arrived miraculously. On the other hand, famous pasuk in the ninth paragraph of Zechariah, Adi v'ropa v'achamar, he's going to be a poor man riding on a donkey. In other words, is he arriving in a helicopter, or he's arriving in a beaten up shabby? Which one is it? Is it with Nisa, or something that looks very natural and doesn't even look particularly impressive? Is it a Roman Manane Shemaya? Or the Anigro Baba Tamar? The words in Yeshua Levi is saying, ask Asira and give the same terms as before. It depends. Zalka Manane Shemaya, or Zalka Manane Baba Tamar? Depends. If we're Zalka, if we deserve Gula, then it'll be as soon as we deserve, and it'll be Nisa right away. If we're not Zalka, then it'll come V'derech HaTeva. And in this context, let me show you one more Maror Makom for now. We've been talking a lot about Pesukim in Tanakh. Let's talk about Pasuk in Chumash and a comment of the Arachaim HaKadosh. The Pirush Arachaim passed away in the early 1800s. This is very important. He passed away before the rise of political Zionism. As you'll see in a moment, that is very, very significant. Take a look at the bottom of the first page of the Maror. Right? It says that deep into Parshas Balak, Balak, King Balak had hired Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, and as you remember, it was not going well. Strike one, strike three, two, strike three, you're out. Okay. He keeps getting brought. And Balak says, I'm not interested. You can go home now. You're not helping me. And then Bilam says, well, I told you from the outset. I'm only going to say what Baal Shem wants me to say. I told you. The Atta, Perakav Dala, Pasik Yudalas. The Atta, Hini Olech Lami. Look, I'm going home now. I'm leaving. I'm going to go back to where I live. But L'chai Yatz, before I leave, L'chai Yatz, Chashay Yatz, Ha'am Azel, Ha'am Chabach, Harisayim. Let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of the day. Let me tell you what this Zman HaGu'ula is going to be like. And this Nebuah is Bilam's Nebuah about Achaz Yam. Bilam's Nebuah about Mashiach Tzayim. You take a look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Er'enu b'lo ata, asherenu b'lo karo. I see it, but it's not right now. And ashurenu, I see it, but it's not close. Dorach kok of Yaakov of the Kamashev in Yisrael. There's a star flying out of Yaakov, and there's a staff rising out of Yisrael. Very dramatic. And that's his description, his first vision
of Birza Mashiach. I see it, but not right now. I see it, but it's not nearby. Of shooting star and horizon staffs. Now, Achai wants to know, what's this all about? It's a lot of kefal halashen, a lot of repetitions. The Dr. Achai Makadosh on the other side of the page. Kefal ha'inyin v'shimi halashen. What's with the repeated language? It says, this is based on the Gemara we just learned. He's probably the Reim Zal and Sanhedrin. And Tiyagul ben Sozabus Yisrael. If Geul will come because of our zechus of Zachu, if it's the zechus of Kol Yisrael that drive the Geula, Yehadavar Mufla b'Mayla, it'll be absolutely miraculous. V'yizgala ha'gol Yisrael ben Hashamayim b'movis v'os, and the Sheikh will be revealed with total nisim. He quotes a Zohar that says the same as the Gemara. Now she'ein kein, the Geul mitakeitz. If the Geula comes because it's time, the time is up. Now it's time for you. Most times you have to start whether we deserve or not. But then you start with William Love. We didn't deserve. We didn't earn this. Then Tiba open up it. Then the process of Gula will take a different form. Now Lehane Masha Gal Yavon and Rabbi Lachaman. The Gemara just learned from tonight. And then he says. And then he says, and that is by these psukim as well. And Enu Gulo Ata Asher Enu Gul Karot. I see it, but not now. I see it, but not nearby. What does that mean? He says, "Liros is to see something nearby." I see it. Shlomo is right over here. I see Shlomo, but he's not this moment. I don't know Akka. That's option number one. Is Mashiach might come soon? Not this minute, but he might come soon. I don't know. Not this moment, but I don't know. And the other option is Ashurenu. So Lashur says means to see in the distance. Below Karov, not just not now, not even close. Far away, but it's happening. That's Zachu Achishana. Chazar Zoch and Mashiach come soon. And lo Zachu Meita. If not, then it'll be at the Kates, which we now know. The Kates hasn't arrived. Mashiach hasn't arrived yet, so clearly the Kates hasn't arrived yet. So clearly the Kates was more than 3,000 years after Bilah. But then he says, what does the Dar Kovom Yaakov become Shevet Mishra? With the shooting star and the rising staff, what's it all about? So then the Gemara had said, the second half of that Gemara, that the Zachu lo Zachu, plan A, plan B, is not just in terms of when, but in terms of how. In terms of how. Again, as we said before, the Rambam is very clear. Ultimately, Mashiach is going to be a flesh and blood descendant of David HaMelech, ruling over Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, rebuilding Beis HaMikdash, etc., 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 etc. The end goal is the same. But how we get there could be the longer route or the shorter route. The quicker and more miraculous, or the longer and less miraculous. Mashal ma'adav redoma. You think about Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Rabbi Hashem told Avravinu, Rabbi Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael, I'm going to leave and turn to go to Eretz Yisrael. And that was true. But there are two ways for that to play out. It could have been, like Moshe Rabbeinu says in Balos Lit Yisrael, No Siman Achnu, we're leaving Har Sinai, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be quick. Well, it could have been quick. It ended up being 40 years. Lo Zachu, we did Chet after Chet after Chet, Mesoranin and this and that, and finally Raglim. We still got to the same Eretz Yisrael. The destination was the same, but the way we got there, the journey there, was longer and more circuitous. So he says that's not only true for the four for Klal Yisrael getting from the train to Eretz Yisrael, it's also true for human history getting to Mashiach. The ultimate destination is Mashiach. Mashiach ben David. But how do you get there is the question. Let's take a look inside the Arachayim. Eranu Golo Ata here, five lines from the bottom. Remez of Kofa Yotzev Emetz Hashemayim L'Neis Mufla. So that's one option. So Zachu Barom Shemayim, like Daniel says, like the Pasuk in the Chumash says, total Nisim.
in the middle of the flight out of the sky.
And how about connected gulas be ita? And how about the other option B, if we're not zocher? The Mashiach will come when he needs to come. Shirama the mama asher lo karo.
That's when he says, I see it in the distance, not nearby. The Amar, so how does Bilam describe the quality, not just the timing, but the quality of the process leading up to Mashiach if we're not Zocha? So, Zachariah said, Ani Rocha Elchamar, like a poor man riding a donkey. In other words, no, nothing special, doesn't look so exciting, doesn't look so rich. Bilam adds a little more. Come shave at Mishraal. What do you mean a rising staff? The shooting star I get, that sounds like totally heavenly. What's a kam shevet, a rising staff? What does it mean, on Baruch Hal Chamar? Watch. The Ar Samech wrote this in the 1700s on both sides. Sheyakum shevet echer mi Yisrael kederech hakamim ba'olam b'derech hateva. What that means is, it's going to be, if lo zachu, then the process leading ultimately to Mashiach ben David, the process to get there, if we're not zocha, it's going to be a natural political process. Kederech hakamim ba'olam derech hateva, the way naturally people rise to power. Ani baruch alachamar. No miracle. In other words, and that's shevet. Shevet is a sign of political leadership, of governance. In other words, what Aruch Chaim is saying, Aruch Chaim taught us over 200 years ago, is pshat in the Gemara Sanhedrin, is if we're zocha, Mashiach will come in a moment with total nisim gluyim. If you're not Zelka, so then there'll be a long, slow, arduous process, a natural political process that will ultimately get us to Mashiach ben David. As a matter of fact, the Gra and the Kol HaTor mentioned yesterday, the Kol HaTor is the Torah of the Gra on Geula that was put together by his Talmidim, published by his Talmidim, republished by Menachem Mendel Kasher. So he writes there that a lot of it is Kabbalah, but from the pieces that you're able to figure out, he writes that there's one line in Gemara Sanhedrin about Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben David? We heard Mashiach ben David. But who's Mashiach ben Yosef? The Gra appears to say there, if one can figure out what he's driving at, it seems like he's saying Mashiach ben Yosef is this natural process to get there. Mashiach ben Yosef, if we're Zochah, we just go straight to Mashiach ben David, all the time, the moment we're Zochah, boom, Nisim Gluyim, in walks Mashiach ben David. If we're not Zocha, for not only does it take longer, there'll be a long, long natural process of Nisim Nistarim that will finally get us to Mashiach ben David. And that process, that natural political process, is Mashiach ben Yosef. Which means that we look back at the last 150 years of history, and it is perhaps bittersweet. Because you say, l'chora, we were not Zocha. You look back at the last 150 years of history, you say, we're not such big tzaddikim, probably. Because what we've been watching is kederach hakavim v'derach hateva. We've been watching on Baruch HaMachamar. We've been watching Darash Kamashev in Yisrael. It was a rise of a concept of nationalism across Europe in the 1800s, and that helps to catalyze a Zionist movement. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mesabev Kol HaSibes, has a plenty to say about how it worked out that Chaim Weizmann, this young Jewish chemist, was critically helpful to the British war effort in World War I. And as a result, when Lord Balfour's party came to power, Chaim Weizmann, who had gotten to know him in an earlier go-around, had access to Lord Balfour. They were able to discuss his growing idea of a Jewish state, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept moving things along, but everything with Derech HaTeva, with Nisim Nistarim, with Derech HaTeva. We have been watching L'chora, the unfolding process towards Geula, which should be incredibly bittersweet. On the one hand, it means lo zachino. It means it looks like Mashiach is coming despite us, and not because of us. And that's exactly what the Gemara and Rabbi Shulchan Levi taught us. On the other hand, to see so many nevuos unfold before our eyes, to see such Yeshua's Hashem, unfold before us. And to see what appears to be, we'll know in retrospect if indeed it was. Hashem has arrived from Rabban, and Noit Bihudim, and Nesivus. What appears to the best of our ability to look like the exactly what Nevi'im and the Amoraim were describing of the stages of the process of Geula. That's what the Gemara says. Geula could either be a point in time or Geula could be a process. So we have been living the unfolding process of Geula. That is what Reishis Tzmichas, that's what the halachic term Ashalta de Geula means. The Shechta develops, so if you want, so these are what we talked about just now. What we talked about just now are the many, 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 many reasons to be incredibly grateful to Ribbono Shel Olam. So many reasons to celebrate. To celebrate the practical Yeshua. To celebrate the restoration of Gavas and Shel Yisrael. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is no longer crying, so no longer crying as much because of the loss of Jewish pride. It's been, so much of it has been restored. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not crying so much for Gavas Shel Malchus Shamayim. That too has been, to a great extent, restored. We've seen so many nevuas, physical and spiritual, about Kibbutz Galias and about Torah coming once again from Yerushalayim, Kimitzion, Teitzei Torah. We no longer find that pasuk to be remote. That, of course, we take it for granted, because now that's the Metzias. To see particularly, Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mizeh, the ultimate siman for the coming of Geula, the Hari Yisrael Amfachem Titein, the greening, the restoration of the green of Eretz Yisrael, and that fits so well with the latter Gemara, that there may be a process. We're not told that there to be a process of Geula, apparently we have been watching. And let me close out this segment of trying to put Hakamas HaMedina into the context of classic categories. We'll end this segment with the following. I promise you, Magen Avraham and Beis Yosef and Magen Avraham, the end of Hilchas Tisha B'Av. Gemara says in Kiddushin, in Moikatan rather, that Gemara says in Moikatan that a Jew sees Harabais b'Churbano, a Jew sees Yerushalayim b'Churbano, a Jew sees Ari Yehuda b'Churbanan, you have to tear Kriya. You have a particular psukim that you say in conjunction with the Kriya. So the Beis Yosef and Magen Avraham discuss the siman in the end of Hilchas Tisha B'Av about these dinim, the Kriyas Begadim on Mikdash, Roa Yerushalayim, Roa Ar Yehuda. And the Beis Yosef, the Magen Avraham quotes in Beis Yosef, what's the definition of Ari Yehuda B'Churban? If I see Chevra nowadays, I see Beit Lechem nowadays, do I tear Kriya or not? So Beis Magen Avraham quotes Halacha what Beis Yosef mentions, that it doesn't have to do with whether the buildings are desolate or built up. It doesn't even have to do with whether Jews are allowed to live there or not. They write, Beis Yosef Magen Avraham write, that if it's not under Jewish control, it's considered b'churbanon. Even if there's a thriving Jewish community in Beit Lechem, even if there's a thriving Jewish community in Hebron, if it's under non-Jewish sovereignty, that's considered b'churbanon. Which is mamish, a statement on the page of Shulchan Aruch, that a lack of Shilton Yisrael is an element of Churban, which means that the restoration of Shilton Yisrael is in and of itself an element of Geula. Not Geula Shalema, but as mamish, in the most technical halachic sense, that is a chelik of Geula, is the restoration of Shilton Yisrael to a single city. That's halacha lemaisa. If you see a part of Beit Lechem that's under Israeli control, you don't tear Kriya. You see a part of Beit Lechem under PA control, you do tear Kriya. That's mamish. If you've been misled to think that Jewish sovereignty is a secular concept, it's on the page of Shulchan Aruch. It is not the entirety of Geula, but as we saw from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Geula is the process. You have a little bit more, a little bit more. If we're not Zochas, then it comes gradually. But this is the stages and the unfolding process in the unfolding process of Geula. We'll continue in a little bit later this morning. We'll close things up with we'll discuss the practical hanhaga of Yom HaTzmaut. Some guys have been wondering where does this all fit in. So once we have a basis, then we can look at halachic categories. The halacha has plenty to say about when you blow shofar, when you say halal, when you say tachem, when you say lam atzech, and when you shave, and so on and so forth. So we'll get to all of that later. Let's take a break for a couple minutes right now.